So again, it's Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of holy people in Colossae, the faith peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Good morning. My name's David Wright. It's a great pleasure to be with you this morning. Do you ever feel like you're missing out? Do you ever feel like you're missing out spiritually? You know, you chat to your friends and you hear from them that, you know, hundreds of people are coming to faith in their church. You know, people are being baptised and they've got thousands coming to their youth group. Or maybe it's God's doing these wonderful, delightful works of healing and miracles in people's lives. Or maybe it's their prayer life. You know, their prayer life is just so amazing. They're up at 3 a.m. to pray for hours and hours, and that's on a day when they've slept in. Or maybe it's they just seem to have this line of communication with God. It's like God is speaking directly to them. It's almost they can hear his voice. You ever feel like you're missing out spiritually? That by comparison to what your friends tell you, it just feels like your spiritual life's just a bit drab, ordinary, ho-hum. You ever feel like you're missing out spiritually? This morning, as Danny said, we're beginning a new preaching series in Paul's letter to the Colossians. And as Paul writes to the Colossians, they're a church where they're in danger of feeling like they're missing out spiritually. And so Paul wants to address this. And the lovely thing this morning is that we hear the apostle at prayer. We're given an insight into Paul's prayers for them. So if you're the sort of person who either now or sometime in the past has felt like, you know, I just struggle a bit. I do feel like I've been missing out spiritually. Then Paul's got lots of really helpful stuff to say for us. So please have your Bibles open there to Colossians 1, whether it's hard copy or on your phone. There's an outline there in your leaflet about what I'm going to say. If you can follow along in your Bible, it'll make a whole lot more sense of what I'm going to say. Let me pray that God would speak to us. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you are a speaking God. And so our prayer this morning is that by your Spirit, you would take your word and make it align to our lives. Please help us to respond, trusting in your good word to us. Amen. In our backyard is an apricot tree. My wife Jackie loves her garden, but the apricot tree is a particular favourite. And by about Christmas time, we're expecting some big, sweet, delicious, juicy apricots. Have you got a favourite fruit tree in your backyard? When you get good fruit, it doesn't just come out of nowhere, does it? If you're going to get good, healthy fruit, it actually means the tree is healthy. You don't get bad fruit off a good tree. The tree itself needs, the source needs to be healthy in order to have good fruit. And it's the same spiritually. Paul wants to say that if you want good, spiritual, healthy fruit, the source itself needs to be healthy. As we read through these verses, I want you to see if you can spot what's the source of good, healthy, spiritual fruit. Have a look as we read verses 3 to 8. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Here is Paul looking back, thanking God for the way God has been at work in the lives of the Colossians, and what does he say is the source of spiritual fruit? Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel that Epaphras in verse 7 has brought the gospel to the Colossians. It's the gospel, end of verse 5, you've already heard the true message of the gospel. Verse 6, this gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. Yes, with the Colossians and everyone else. End of verse 6, this gospel is the gospel of God's grace. If you want good, strong, healthy, spiritual fruit, it comes from the right source, and that source is the gospel of God's grace in Christ. Paul then goes on to fill that out, what that involves, what the content of that is. Did you see it there in verse 4? Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. The great trio of Christian experience, faith, hope and love. Paul talks about that a lot in his letters. But did you notice the way this has been put together? That faith and love that is stored up for you in heaven. That's an interesting connection, isn't it? We get the same sort of idea in verses 12 to 14. The Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The sort of imagery here takes us back to the Old Testament. You remember in the Old Testament, God's people were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. They're getting a terrible time. But what does God do? He reclaims his own people. He says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go. These are my people." And he brings them out of the kingdom of Pharaoh to be part of his own kingdom, because they are his people. And that's the sort of picture we have here, that God brings people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his son whom he loves. And if you're part of the kingdom of the son whom he loves, because he loves his son, he loves you. God is on a rescue mission to bring people out of darkness into light. And so for those who are part of the kingdom of light, they have an inheritance, a certain hope. And so knowing that there is that hope, that is where their trust is in. That is where their faith is in. Knowing that hope, they are then free to love. Faith and love spring from the hope, the sure and certain knowledge of their inheritance in the saints, because God has rescued people out of darkness into light. As Paul looks back, he's thanking God for all that God has done. It is the gospel of God's grace in Christ, that has produced real spiritual fruit, this fruit of faith, hope, and love, that people know the inheritance that they have. So, what are the implications for us? Well, first implication is that the gospel of grace gives Trinity Mount Barker Church everything it needs. You're not missing out. See, you see here, God has rescued you and brought you out of darkness into light. He's redeemed you. He's forgiven you. He's made you one of his people. He's adopted you as his child. You have a sure and certain hope. You have an inheritance with God's people. You are not missing out. You have everything that God has given you. Ephesians would describe it as every spiritual blessing in Christ. Second implication, if it's the gospel that's the source of real spiritual fruit, then I just want to encourage you to keep being a church that's centered on the gospel of God's grace in Christ. When this church was first established, that was the driving motive. That it's the thousands and thousands of people in Mount Barker are trapped in darkness. They are without hope. And it's the gospel that provides hope. It's the gospel that is the power to bring them out of darkness into light, to be able to say there is hope and purpose and meaning in life, and that is found in the Lord Jesus. And just as that was the driving force for the establishment of this church, so it should be going forward. Now, it'd be really easy, I think, particularly in this time between ministers, to think, you know what, are we barking up the wrong tree? Are we really on the right track? I mean, you could, for example, just organise a couple of kegs each week and say to Mount Barker, list free beer every Sunday. I'm sure you would pull a crowd. But is that going to bring real spiritual fruit? I can see some people thinking, that's not a bad idea. It is a warm day. But it's the gospel that brings real spiritual fruit. It's the gospel that holds out hope. In Christ, there is even more, thousands more people in Mount Barker who desperately need that. So can I encourage you to keep being a church that's centered around the gospel of God's grace in Christ? So Paul has looked back. He's thanked God for his work in the lives of the Colossians. Now he's going to look forward and pray for them. So let's pick it up there in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. You remember during the pandemic, you'd go to the supermarket to do the grocery shop, and you'd turn up and the shelves were just empty. It was like the buzzards had swooped through, the hyenas had charged through the place, and they'd just stripped it bare. And not just the toilet paper, but everything. And that, just that sense of being deflated, you think, there's just nothing. Compared to now, you go to the supermarket, do the grocery shop, and the shelves are full. And when it's full, you realise, I've got everything I need. In a similar way, Paul wants to pray that the Colossians would know that God would fill them, that they would have everything they need. This sense of fullness, this idea of being filled, is a really big theme that runs through Colossians. So over the coming weeks, we'll see it again and again. So next week, we'll hear of the way Jesus, the full of godness. He's not lacking in godness. And so on and so on. So one of the things I want you to do is just make a little mental note. Each time we get the next passage, where is Paul talking about being filled or being full? It's a really important theme because the Colossians are not missing out. And neither are you. In Christ, we have everything, the fullness of God. And so Paul's praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. But that's not the end goal. That's not the whole objective of it. It's actually a bigger purpose than that. So pick it up, end of verse 9. So praying they'd be filled with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Remember what it was like trying to learn to drive? You'd study up and you'd go down to the motor registry and sit your test and you'd walk away with your L's. To being a good driver than just knowing the road rules. You know, sure, don't try being a driver without knowing the road rules. It is good to know that you should stop at a red light or indicate when you're changing lanes. But there's so much more. It's about the attitude that we bring as we drive. It's about how do we interact with other people? What do we do when certain situations arise? As Paul prays that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, is for a purpose. Not that that would be the end in itself, but so they would know how to live. That they would know who they are. They would know how to interact with people. They would know how to respond to the situations that life throws at them. Paul wants them to be able to live lives that please God. And he goes on to fill that out and give us some description of what that looks like. Pick it up with me halfway through verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. There's four descriptions of what living a life worthy of God looks like. I've listed them there on your leaflet. Isn't that just a lovely picture of the Christian life? Full of good works, growing in understanding, relating to God, having power to be patient and endure and press on in the Christian life. Having joyful thanks. That's a great summary of the Christian life, isn't it? But I want you to notice also, in the detail there, When it talks about bearing fruit, it's bearing fruit in every good work, literally in all good works, growing in the knowledge of God, having all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, literally all endurance and patience. Once again, Paul's saying, I'm praying that you would have everything you need, all endurance, every good work, because you're filled with all the wisdom and knowledge that God gives in Christ. You are not missing out. God wants to give you all of this so that you could live for him. Isn't that great? So, what's the implications of that? Well, first of all, this is a prayer for Trinity Mount Barker Church. This is a prayer for Trinity Mount Barker Church. I don't know if you noticed, between verses 3 and 12, 13 times. 13 times in those verses. But the you is plural. It's saying you collectively, you lot, yous in Australian. This is plural. And then verse 13 and 14, it's us, us, we. Again, plural. So whilst this prayer is, you know, entirely appropriate for us to pray for ourselves, nothing, you know, like that's perfectly good. Primarily, first and foremost, this is a prayer for God's church. This is a prayer for us, collectively, for all of us. This is a prayer for Trinity Mount Barker Church. So it might be, for example, you might like to write this out in your own words and incorporate it into your, you know, weekly pattern of prayer. So write it out in your own words and pray for church on a Wednesday. Or maybe you're part of the leadership team. You might like to take this prayer and pray that each time you get together as a leadership team, that to pray for church. Or maybe you're part of a Bible study group and each week when you get together, somebody, you know, a different person each week can take a turn to pray this prayer for church. Or maybe you could incorporate it into the, you know, pattern of prayers that you pray on Sundays. Maybe it's, you could use this once a month. This is a prayer for all of us together. This is what, that God would be at work, to thank him for his work, to ask him to keep being at work. This is a prayer for Trinity Mount Barker Church. Second implication, I think there's a big thread that runs through this whole section about growth. This theme of growth. Now, I just wonder, in this time between ministers, it'd be really easy to think, listen, we're just going to circle the wagons, bunker down, make sure that we've got all our bases covered and do what we need to do just to get through. But I think a prayer like this pushes us to think, oh, no, no, this could be a period of growth. It might not translate into, you know, thousands coming through the door, unless people do adopt the kegs of beer and all that sort of stuff, but wouldn't it be a wonderful opportunity to pray that God would be growing you in depth and maturity and love and faith? See, this could be a great moment of growth. So rather than stagnate, rather than just tread water, God, can you please be at work so that we might grow in such a way that we might collectively live lives that would please you and be worthy of you and honour you. That would be lovely to see that sort of growth, wouldn't it? As a church. Paul looks back, he thanks God for the way he's been at work in the lives of the Colossians, that it's the gospel of God's grace that brings real spiritual fruit. And then he looks forward to pray that God would fill them with everything that they need, all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they might live lives worthy of him and please him in every way. He's not being shortchanged. They're not being sold short. They are given everything they need. They're not missing out. And neither are you. Just as we wrap up, I want to just give you a moment just to reflect, maybe scribble something on your leaflet or put a note in your phone. What's a couple of things that stand out from this morning that you hear God speaking into your lives? Give you a moment just to reflect on that. Make some notes. Maybe you might like to pray quietly in your own mind. And then in a moment, I'll get you to just turn to the person next to you and say, here's something that's rolling around in my head. So let me give you a moment, first of all, just to reflect yourself and make a note or two, spend a moment talking to the Lord. When you feel ready, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, here's something I'm thinking about. Here's something that God wants me to think about going forward, or something I've got out of today. And in a moment, I'll come back and pray. Thanks for having a chat. Maybe you might like to continue that conversation in your household this afternoon as you have lunch. Just see where God takes the conversation as we speak God's word to each other. Hey, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you don't sell us short, that in the gospel of your Son, you give us everything we need for life and godliness. And so I particularly pray for my sisters and brothers here at Trinity Mount Barker, that you would keep filling them with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding that your Spirit gives, so that as a church they might live lives worthy of you and please you in every way. To the glory of Jesus. Amen.